As you all settle back in, I'm going to invite you to sign the friendship pads that are located at the right end of all the pew segments, and ask you to pass them to your left and pass them back. And as you do, you can catch the name maybe of the person you greeted here this morning. We have a few announcements to share this morning. First of all, we are collecting plastic bags and other forms of plastic film with a goal of 500 pounds, which would allow us to get a bench made. And we have passed 200 pounds, so 40% of the way. Thank you all who have been dropping things off. We have collection bins down there at the south entrance, just over there by where the elevator doors are. And keep filling them up, and we'll thank Deb and Brad Gamble. They're the ones that take the collected plastics in and turn them in and bring back the empties so we can refill them again. I'd like to take a moment welcome those who are helping lead worship this morning. That would include Kim Wise, who's our liturgist, and Lynn Meyer, who's on the piano now, but going to be on the organ as well this morning. Heather Hicks is on vacation. We have a few other announcements. The flowers this morning are given by John and Sharon Davis in celebration of their 59th wedding anniversary. So thank you. This afternoon at 3 p.m., we have a very special event. Bev Etling will present a musical concert right here in our church sanctuary. You're invited to come. As she says, it'll feature something for everyone. So please join us this afternoon, 3 o'clock, for a special concert. What's that? Oh, no rap. Oh. Something for everybody. That's part of the something for everybody, huh? All right, well, but just about everything else. So thank you, Bev, for that. We're looking forward to it. The kitchen is almost done. You can go down there and take a look. Steer clear of going actually in the kitchen. We have a few more pieces to install, but that should be done tomorrow. After that, if you go down there, you'll see a lot of the items you'll see all the items that were in the old kitchen stacked on tables and on the floor outside in the main fellowship room, and we're going to need some help putting that back in, but we don't know yet what day. It'll depend on when they get done and when the cleaning's done. But you can talk to Diana Westfall or Bernie Simpkins and just let them know that you'd be willing to help put that stuff back, and then they'll get in touch with you. And that'll make a few extra hands would be a big help for that. Next Sunday is our Step Forward Together event, and we will have a potluck meal, and we hope that it will include using that new kitchen for the first time. The main dish will be provided. You're invited to bring a side dish. And the Step Forward Together event is an event to kind of contemplate where we've been during COVID, where we are now, and where we might go from here. And you're invited to be part of that conversation. We do ask that you sign up, and there's a sign-up list in the book, in the gathering area, the sign-up book. You can join us then. It'll be right after church next Sunday. If you would prefer, there will also be a Zoom gathering on June 15th. So if you want to meet by Zoom on Thursday evening, June 15th, they'll meet at 6 o'clock. And the reason they're going to meet at 6 o'clock is they didn't want those who met by Zoom to be left out of the meal. So they are providing pizza for you, and everyone's going to eat their pizza at 6 o'clock and discuss the same topics that we'll be discussing next Sunday. The only catch is you have to sign up by noon tomorrow. So there's a sign-up sheet out here, or you can call the church office. But noon tomorrow is the deadline, because we're getting Donato's Pizza, and they need that much lead time to prepare pizzas for us. So you can meet by Zoom, you can meet in person. And again, this is an event to sort of discuss where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed in this COVID, post-COVID world. Our farmers market ministry continues on Saturday mornings. We had a great time yesterday, and we'll continue to do this on Saturdays all through the summer. We would love to have you sign up and help out for a two-hour shift, either 8:30 to 10:30 or 10:30 to 12:30. Obviously, the early shift helps set up. The later shift takes down. There's, a sign-up at our sign-up book. Join us for one shift during the summer and see how much fun it is to entertain the kids, talk with the parents, have an, enjoy the atmosphere of the farmer's market. This is the last week to get your scholarship applications in. You may, there's an announcement in the bulletin. If you need applications, there's some hard copy applications out here in the gathering area, or you can get them online from Gene or Sherry Monteith, the co-chairs of the scholarship committee. Please note that I will be on vacation next week, and the Reverend Robert Coberly will be our guest preacher. Reverend Coberly is a retired hospice chaplain in Central Ohio, and he has preached here before and is looking forward to coming and preaching here again. And finally, at the end of the service today, we will hold a congregational meeting for the purpose of electing officers. Members are asked to attend. Visitors are welcome to attend. I don't expect this meeting to last too long. So you won't miss out on the wonderful cookies that are out there. So we'll do that right at the end of the meeting. And that part of the meeting is an in-person meeting, not a live stream meeting. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Please join me in the call to worship. What a wildly wonderful world our God has made. The earth overflows with the wonderful works of the Lord. All creatures look expectantly to the Creator, and the Creator provides for their every need. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let us praise God.
Amen.
Let us join together in the prayer of confession. God of grace and glory, you have called us to great visions, but we confess that too often we have let petty matters sidetrack great dreams. Forgive us when we are so preoccupied by the trivial that we lose sight of the eternal. You have called us to be brothers and sisters, but we confess that too often we find it easier to find fault than to offer grace. Forgive us when we are more interested in how we look to another than in how we live together. You have called us to be salt and light, but we confess that too often we have been content to be pale imitations, that we neither bring spice to life or light to a darkened world. Forgive us when we miss our opportunities to bring good news to a lost and hurting world. Amen. Be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Peter's first letter, chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. So listen for the word of God. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen and destined by God the Father and sanctified by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in abundance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that was to be yours made careful search and inquiry, inquiring about the person or time that the Spirit of Christ within them indicated, when it testified in advance to the sufferings destined for Christ and the subsequent glory. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in regard to the things that have now been announced to you through those who brought you good news by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kim. I'm glad any children that are here this morning to join me up here in the front. Are you glad to have you here? And any children that are at home, we're glad to have you part of this service as well. Wait a sec for Emma to get down here. Emma's going to help me out here. Good morning. You may have heard at the beginning of the service, I said I'm going on vacation this week. And we'll be going for a week in the trip. And I know, are you going on a vacation this summer? You don't think so, huh? Maybe not. Have you gone on vacation before? Yeah, so some people, a lot of people travel in the summer. So other people go on vacation other times of year. And I was thinking, I've got to pack my suitcase this week. And I want some things that came to mind that one could pack, like clothes, right? We could pack our clothes. Good thing to pack, some kind of sort of thing there. You have any other ideas of what we could pack? Toothpaste and toothbrush. That's good. I didn't put that one on here. I put shoes on here. That's a good one. So, you got another one for me that you can do? Can you do that? Sorry. While you're thinking, I'll hold this one up, okay? Raincoat. Even though you go on vacation, you don't want it to rain, but it often does, right? Got to rain. I like to go somewhere where it's sunny, so I make sure I pack sunglasses. Sort of thing, and we're going to a lake, so I brought my, gonna pack my swimsuit, right? That's swimsuit. Now, something that everybody packs in one form or another, but kids pack. How about toys to play with, huh? Do you ever pack your toys on vacation? Pack a few of them, something like that? I bring my toys as well, grown-up toys, like my fishing gear. And we go as a family, we often pack games to play for those rainy days that we can play, that sort of thing. So that's a lot of things. Did you think of anything else we could pack?
Maybe water toys?
Oh, yeah, water toys. That would be good. So all good stuff. I didn't write that down either. So, you know, there are some things, though, that we shouldn't pack when we go on vacation. You know that? And adults often pack these things even though they're going on vacation. Some adults pack their work on vacation. Yeah, they do, don't they? They pack their work, huh? And they don't leave that at home. And this is something kids pack on vacation as well as adults. We sometimes pack our worries, don't we? Do we pack our worries? We're worried about something. We don't leave those at home. We take those with us, don't we? And here's something that I know I pack all the time when I go on vacation, particularly the day before we leave. I pack rush, rush, rush. Get it all done, right? Sort of thing. And sometimes that gets packed and we rush around vacation too, right? That's a lot of things to bring on vacation, don't we, sort of thing. Well, I wanted you and the rest of us to think about one other thing we can bring on vacation, okay? And that is Jesus, of course, right? We can do it. Because even on vacation, we can pray to Jesus, and we can even sometimes where we go, we can even go to church, you know, where we visit. Or maybe we can even watch online, perhaps, this church. But even if you don't get the chance to go to church while you're on vacation, I still think it's good to remember Jesus on vacation. And you pray to Jesus, maybe bring your Bible and read about Jesus. Those are good things to do on vacation. So I'm looking forward to a great vacation. I hope anyone else who's going on vacation is going on a great vacation. And someday when you go on vacation, you can pack all these things too. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for going on vacation with us and reminding us that we can still pray to you and worship you, and you love us wherever we are. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you for the words of Holy Scripture that we heard this morning, and as we return to them and think about them, may your Spirit guide us. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. As we look at the church calendar, If you have one of those, you'll see that today is listed as Trinity Sunday, the Sunday that we recognize God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We might say that Trinity Sunday is that we recognize God as Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Or put another way, we recognize God as the crown of glory, the Prince of Peace, and the Spirit of love. In other words, this is the Sunday that we celebrate the most challenging and yet most basic of Christian doctrines. There's a story about St. Patrick. It was said that while Patrick was witnessing to non-believers in Ireland, they grew angry with him and demanded that he prove that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit were truly just one God. St. Patrick picked up a shamrock and asked them whether he held up one leaf or three leaves. If three leaves, why one stem? If one stem, why three leaves? His accusers were silent because they could not answer him. And then Patrick went on and said that how could they understand not the Trinity? How could they not understand something as simple as a shamrock and then expect to understand the Trinity? I can't say whether the story itself is true, but the illustration proves a point. How can we possibly understand the Trinity? I must say that most of us don't stay up night worrying about the Trinity. I hope not, anyway. The language of the Trinity may permeate our worship, in our prayers, in our hymns, in our creeds, in our sacraments, but seldom do we ever actually speak about the Trinity. Years ago, a theologian was working late in his office, and one of the custodians stopped by and asked him, "What do you believe about God?" And the theologian replied, "Well, I believe that God is a Trinity." And that pretty much ended the conversation right there. As one Christian author once wrote, "With respect to your typical evangelistic conversation, speaking about the Trinity is not exactly the most promising opening gambit. Speaking about the Trinity might not be the most promising middle gambit or end of gambit either." I guess most of us will go through this week not thinking about the Trinity, not even once. It is, however, one of the cornerstone doctrines of the church, one that took hundreds of years for early Christians to work out. And whether we talk about it or not, it still shapes our relationship with God. Passages like the one that Kim read from 1 Peter this morning point to the Trinity, but they don't really describe it. It's as if the Bible writers held it up for us to look at, but didn't take the time to explain it to us. The Bible points at the Trinity, and the church has been working at understanding what it's pointing at ever since. The early church struggled with many questions of faith, including the doctrine of the Trinity. As Christians reflected on these questions, they discovered that the doctrine of the Trinity is required to make sense of what they read in scriptures. Yet, as they sought to spell out the Trinity, they found themselves trying to explain the unexplainable. As one theologian put it, the Holy Trinity is more of a way of preserving a mystery than explaining one. Trying to explain the Trinity makes it more difficult to understand, not easier. Preachers can tie themselves into knots trying to find the proper metaphor for the Trinity. Such has been the challenge since ancient times. Metaphors have emerged such as Trinity as God as fire, light, and heat, or the Trinity as God as composer, singer, and song. The Trinity as God as liquid, steam, and ice. The ancient theologian tried a more, one ancient theologian tried a more poetic approach by describing the Trinity as, the Trinity is a plant with the Father as a deep root and the Son as a shoot that breaks forth into the world, and the Spirit is that which spreads beauty and fragrance. Not bad. The attempts to describe the Trinity have not been limited to words. Theologians have used symbols as well. The Trinity has been depicted as a triangle with each side as equal length. It has been shown as a circle, which depicts the eternity of the Trinity. In the 10th century, the trefoil became a popular symbol for the Trinity, and it can be found in most of the great cathedrals built at that time. I kind of like the three arc design that is on the inside of your bulletin. Here, the Trinity is shown as a triangle, but one made of the weaving of arcs, showing that the relationships in the Trinity is more intricate than we can imagine. But maybe the cover illustration of a trillium flower is the best representation of the Trinity. Just enjoy. It's beautiful. As you can see, trying to symbolize the Trinity is just as difficult as trying to describe it. Everything else falls short. The great Martin Luther once said, To try to deny the Trinity endangers one's salvation. To try to comprehend the Trinity endangers one's sanity. Yeah, Martin Luther was quite a character, wasn't he? Perhaps he is right, though. Perhaps that is because we try to comprehend the doctrine of the Trinity when we should just be appreciating it. Certainly, if the Trinity does anything for us, it reminds us that most of God is beyond our ability to understand and explain, which puts us in some very good company. Over and over again in the Bible, humans encounter God, and yet they are only partially able to describe those encounters. From Moses, who saw the back of God's hand, to John, who was given a very unusual vision of heaven in Revelation, the language about God pours forth, but often doesn't explain enough. And maybe that's what God wants. Maybe that is what God wants for us, to encounter God, but not explain God, to know God, but not comprehend all that God is. We believe in one God, that's right. We believe in a God who is three persons, and that's right. And we can't make sense of it, and that's right too. It's all a mystery, and yet why can't we allow God to be mysterious? Yet while the Trinity is a mystery, we can still learn from it. It may be a mystery, but it is not totally mysterious. In our passage from 1 Peter, it might be a place to start. After introducing God as Father and Jesus and Spirit, Peter goes on to describe what this threefold God has done for us. He tells us, by God's great mercy, he has given us a new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. The message is clear. God has acted in our behalf. This Trinitarian God, this unknowable God, has done something we can know. This God has given us something that is tangible. Jesus Christ, who is the author of our salvation. We may not fully understand who God is, but we can understand that this God has done something for us through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All this talk about the Trinity, it is important to remember that our God, our Trinitarian God, is a God who acts, and he acts for our sakes. This is a God who is understood as the Father who created us and the world we live in. This is a God who is understood as the Son lived among us and died and rose from the dead for us, for our salvation. This is a God who, as the Holy Spirit continues to be active in the world today, comforting us when we need it and guiding us when we need that too. We don't have to know the ins and outs of all that God is, but what we can know is that God does. And what God does is to love us enough to work our salvation. And for that, we can rejoice, as Peter put it, with an indescribable and glorious joy. This is the inheritance that Peter speaks of. It is, as Peter writes, an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who being protected, you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It is through Jesus that we have an inheritance that is protected for us by the power of God. We may not understand all that God is about, but we don't need to. What we do need to know is that God provides this for us. When I was a kid, we used to go visit my cousins from time to time, and we'd pile in the car and drive an hour and a half to spend the afternoon and the evening with them. It was usually fairly late at night when it was time to go home, and we'd pile back into the station wagon for the drive home. One of my enduring memories of those visits is that of my dad driving the car as I slowly sank into the back seat and fell asleep. In those days, I depended on my dad to get us home safely, even if I had no idea how that actually happened. Today, I know I can depend on God to get me home safely, even if I don't always understand how that works. Amen. seated. As we come before God in prayer, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer, and let us take a moment and offer our personal prayers to God, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. God of all creation, we give you thanks for this season of the year, for the new beauty that bursts around us. We are grateful for loved ones and for loyal friends and trusted colleagues to whom it matters what happens to each of us. Good and gracious God, you call us to the high calling of showing the world in word and deed the wonder of your love and the compassion of your justice and the power of your truth to transform and renew human lives and the structures of society. With your call, you honor us, and for that we give you thanks. We are mindful, O God, that such a calling is both a burden and a blessing. The burden we do not always bear well, and we are aware that we do not always recognize the blessing or give voice to our gratitude for it. Show us how to bear the burden of your call in such a way as to experience the blessing of your call, so we may fertilize the soil of our spirits with our gratitude so that it's to be more prepared to receive your word and have it take root in our lives and to bear fruit for your kingdom's sake. Merciful God, let your healing and consoling presence be felt by all who are brokenhearted and doubled over in pain or chained to the threat of death. Grant to those who are weighed down by a sense of personal failure an awareness that its antidote is to be found not in their success, but in your forgiving grace. We pray for your world, O God, and for peace in it. We are aware that there are so many places where darkness overshadows all. Show them the more excellent way of your love that binds up the wounds of others rather than inflicts wounds on others. And in this time of trial, when we don't know what to do or how to do it, when we are discouraged and thinking that all is lost, help us to remember that we are loved with an everlasting love from which we can never be separated and which will never let us go. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. As we have been blessed, so God has blessed. As we've been blessed by God, so we have the opportunity to share those blessings. One of the ways we do that is in the sharing of our offerings. Let us do that now.
Thank you.
us pray. Let us praise you, O God, not just with our voices, but with our actions, not just with our hearts, but with our hands. Even by our giving, may we praise you, O God. Accept these gifts and use them for your glory. Amen. Now let us join in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If those who hear my voice open the door, I will come to them and eat with them and they with me. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who find refuge in our God. And so we are here gathered with Christ at this table. Please join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. It is our right and duty to come before you, O God, and remember your mighty acts of love, how you created the world from nothing and placed humans in it to be in a special relationship with you, how when we forsook your love, you never forsook us, how your love for us was so great that you sent your Son Jesus to be our Savior, to show us the way to understand your love and to live in your ways. And though as humans we could not love Christ and crucified him as a threat, your love overcame our hate and your power resurrected him from the dead. Thus we come to this table with deep gratitude and constant praise. Around this table, we dream of the possibilities that you promise. You call us by name. You call us to yourself and name us as your own people. Because you reach out to us, we can now embrace those who join us at your table, friend and stranger, rival and enemy. For here you bring us together and call us beloved. The bread becomes the body, and we become the body of Christ, knitted together in love. And the cup becomes the lifeblood, transforming the lives and transforming the world. Renew us, O God, with your Spirit, that we may receive the mystery, embracing its manifold gifts, and shouting an amen that resounds around the world. And so it was that Jesus met with his disciples on that last night. And there in the upper room, after having given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And as is the tradition in this church, we hold the bread until all are served, partaking together to remind us that we are one in the body of Christ.
Thank you.
In the same way, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And doing as Christ commands, we partake of the cup when we receive it as a sign that God's love comes to each and every one of us." Like to have the deacons step forward, and I will present the elements. The deacons have resumed taking communion to those who are homebound, and I think our deacons are actually up in the balcony. So maybe Ann, would you step up? They were serving. Here they come. They were serving up in the balcony. We have hardworking deacons. They will take this to those who are homebound. A wonderful ministry, and we want to include that. Yeah. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the manner of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us join in singing our closing hymn. Thank you. As soon as the benediction is over, we'll move into the congregational meeting. Members are asked to stay. Visitors, you're welcome to stay. We don't expect it to be a long meeting. The coffee and cookies are waiting. If visitors want to go get those first, I guess I could understand. When you do go from this place, know that God's blessings go with you this day and always. Amen. You may be seated. As we readjust now and move into the meeting, let me open this business meeting of the congregation for the purpose of electing officers with prayer. Almighty and loving God, we are gathered here this morning to do the work of your church so that we might be your ambassadors here in Westerville and throughout the world. We ask that your Spirit guide us in our work this morning and guide those who we would elect as leaders in their work in the days, months, and years ahead. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.